I'm going to turn to the opening hymn number 88 this evening, O Come, All Ye Faithful. This is our first hymn of the evening. I trust you will join in lifting your heart to the Lord with us. Number 88, O Come, All Ye Faithful, Joyful and Triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Let's stand as we sing now. Shall we bow our heads together and seek the Lord in prayer? I would like us to remember our missionaries this evening. I think at this particular time of year, it's difficult to be across the seas, perhaps in a strange culture, and in particular in these times, little opportunity to travel, or at least to travel without hassle. And then, of course, those that are caring for churches and peoples, they need our prayers that the Lord will strengthen them and make them faithful messengers of the gospel at this season as they seek to do year-round. So let's remember our various missionaries tonight in prayer. O God, our Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus to thy throne. We thank thee that your throne is a throne of grace and mercy. And we praise thee that we are welcomed, that we are invited to come boldly to pray for grace and help in our time of need. Lord, this world is in great need tonight. The world is groaning under the curse of sin, groaning under the weight of this pandemic in particular, and then the tragedies and the troubles, the political upheavals there are in so many nations. And we as thy people lament the immorality and the spiritual decline of our own nation here in Canada. O God, we cry out to thee for mercy and pray that thou will be pleased to revive and meet the need of thy church and thy faithful servants around the world at this time. We cannot pray for each of them by name. We're not all familiar with the work that they're involved in and the cares that they carry. But, O Lord, you know. And we pray that you will be pleased to strengthen and to help and to make fruitful each one that is proclaiming your word in various harvest fields that are white unto harvest. Surely this world is ripe for judgment, but it's also ripe for grace. And we pray that it will please thee in these times to call many out of darkness into light. We know that we have a mission field on our doorsteps here in our country. So many religions, so many cultures, so many peoples, and they need to know the Son of God. Not just to know about him, but to truly know the Savior. Lord, make us missionaries in our hearts, in our homes, and in our endeavors of this week before us. We pray that you will watch over each family, that you will hear the prayers of mothers and fathers for their children, and especially for those out of Christ. We pray for safe travel for those who are free to do so. We pray for your watch care over the flock. And we pray that there will be days of blessing when the Spirit of God will strive and minister to every heart and to each need. Comfort the sick and the lonely. Lord, grant that there may be an opportunity even to make that phone call that might make a difference in someone's life. And so stir every heart here tonight to be that missionary, to make that call, to be that evangelist, and that the light of the gospel will shine forth from the witness of this congregation in a practical way. Bless our online viewers this evening. We pray that they will enter in to the worship and to the witness of the gospel this evening. We pray that you will minister to each heart. O Lord, we pray for your presence. Bless all who participate in the service. We pray for those who minister in music and song. And we pray, Lord, that you will speak to hearts. Let us hear your voice within our souls, we pray and ask. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Another hymn. We're going to turn to number 91. Once in royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Number 91. Let's stand as we sing, please. Thank you. We're turning our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John 1, verse 1, we'll read right through to verse 18. I hope you'll follow along in the reading of the Lord's Word and that there will be a blessing for your own heart this hour. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. I'm going to call upon Mr. Fraser to come and to welcome you and to bring the announcements for this evening.
Well, we welcome you to our evening service, and we pray for the Lord's blessing on us as we meet together around His Word. We also welcome those that are joining us online, and we pray that the Lord will bless you as you are able to join with us for this time of worship. On Wednesday evening at 7:30, we'll have our prayer meeting, and there will be a presentation regarding the work of Dr. Bill Woods and his work with the lepers. We thank Reverend Ian Gallagher for ministering the word to us today, and we will be looking forward to him joining with us for the next two Lord days at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. There'll be no Bible class for the next two Sundays, and then there will also be no prayer meeting on the 29th. Pastor Saunders is visiting with family for the next couple weeks, and he will be joining with us for the prayer meeting on January the 5th, Lord willing, and we will then be moving the communion service to January the 9th. The offering plate and the Christmas card are in the foyer, and you can please feel free to sign the Christmas card. The Bible reading calendar will be available next Lord's Day, and we're also looking forward to our week of prayer at the end of January, and there will be a baptismal service on January the 26th. If you wish to be baptized and to profess your saving faith in the Lord Jesus through the waters of baptism, please speak to the pastor or one of the elders. All these, the Lord willing.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, as you can see, this time of year, the announcements are a lot less. I have checked in and listened to Pastor Saunders making announcements, and I thought that was his whole sermon. But Mr. Fraser has learned to condense and to get to the point, and that's what we like to do in the work of the Lord. It's a busy church here, and we're thankful for the work and the witness that you're doing, both in church and school and in various areas of outreach. I'm not sure what's happening these times with care homes. That has been a very difficult area to try and minister in. And I have come up with an option of doing CDs for care homes. And I have about a dozen care homes that are receiving CDs on a monthly or close to a monthly basis, and by that means we try and get a little message across, some hymns, and keep the door open at least that there may be a future for ministry to the seniors. This pandemic is particularly difficult for seniors, as they are vulnerable, as they are always having to play by the rule book and all of that. And whether you're 5 years old or 95 years old, rules are never easy. But they are the efforts of all to try and work through this wretched pandemic. What a burden it is. What a difficulty it is upon the world. And we can only pray that God in His grace will end it, and that we will get back to normal, but that through it, the Lord will humble the pride of men and bring glory to the name of the Savior. We know that churches can suffer through this, but we pray that at the end of it there will be days of refreshing and of reviving in the work of God. Jule and I want to wish you a blessed Christmas. We're just a few days away from Christmas Day, and next Sunday will be what we call Boxing Day, so Christmas Day itself will be over. And so I trust that the Lord will bless you and your family with His grace, His presence, and that there will be those precious, special times with family and friends, and those things that make life so enjoyable, such a blessing, and that you will be encouraged in the Lord. And I'm thinking of the teachers in the school who no doubt have had difficult months, that you will enjoy the break, enjoy the time off, and enjoy planning for the new year, whatever that brings on you as well. Pray for the services next Lord's Day that the Lord will undertake and help, and that there will be grace to minister the word. And if you can bring others along, I will do my utmost to preach the great gospel message, and I trust that you'll bring others along, encourage them to come, and let us do all we can to minister the word to precious souls. It's great to see Mrs. Saunders here tonight, and I want to bid her happy birthday. And I heard Larry mentioning that you had turned 97 years young. Well, congratulations, and the Lord bless you and many more. We're going to sing together another hymn, and it's number 94 in our hymnal, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Number 94. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Number 94. A couple of special items tonight. An ensemble is going to present some music to us tonight, and we're going to have them come and have their first piece. As Lately We Watched, verses 1 and 2, they will play, and then the congregation will enter into verses 3 and 4. Thank you very much for that item tonight. And you've got the sermon as the meat of the sandwich. And you've got this brilliant music as the upper crust and the lower crust. And jammed in the middle is the preacher somewhere that's got the task to bring the word. So we're turning to our text tonight, to John chapter 1. And to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What a great text. But who could ever preach it? What a great text, but what a staggering text to preach. Would you pray that the Lord might help us to glean a few thoughts in this passage tonight? Father, we come to Thee in prayer in the Savior's name, and we thank Thee that we have this wonderful statement before us. God manifest in the flesh. God with us. How can we understand this, O Lord? Teach us a little this evening that will bless our souls and enable us to feed in the week to come and to rejoice in our Lord and Savior. And I pray that this word will be a blessing to every family and every home in the week to come, and that You will, by Your Spirit, stir our hearts and do us good. I take by faith the help of God the Holy Spirit to preach Thy word this evening, and pray that You will be glorified in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Christianity is totally apart in the world of religions when it comes to reaching God. No matter what religion of the world you look at, you will see that there is something of an effort for men to reach up to God. Mormons claim that they will become as gods. Eastern religions believe in reincarnation, some kind of a secular motion that raises them into a higher level. If they can improve on their karma, they will get to a higher degree and a higher status. And there is this attempt in religion for puny man to reach up to the height of God. But in Christianity, we have the opposite. We have a glorious God reaching all the way down to poor, lost, sinful men, women, boys and girls. In this text, verse 14, the Word was made flesh. The Word there is the second person of the Trinity. If you look at verse 1, you will soon discover that the Word was with God. God is the Father, the Word is the Son. The Greek term is logos, simply for Word. And Jesus is the Word of the Father. God has spoken, but He has also given us His Son. If you want to know God, you need to know His Son. If you want to know who God is and how gracious He is, you need to know the nature and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Now, to clarify things further, John protects the eternal existence of the Word by saying in this text that we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. John in no way is limiting who Jesus is. He is carefully guarding that He is God, come down to men to take upon Him human flesh. And we must rejoice tonight that we have a Savior that is altogether God. Now, the word begotten of the Father is the Greek term monogenes, and it certainly means one, the only one. And never in the Bible is this term ascribed to any other person or angel or creature, only to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who say that this refers to oneness in nature with the Father, which we know from the great scope of the Bible is absolutely true. Jesus could say, I and my Father are one. They are one in glory, they are one in nature, and they are one in purpose. Everything that God sets out to do, the Son came into the world to fulfill the will of the Father. Now, this is of vast import. And we need to learn to read this text properly. I think that has to be the first starting point of any Bible study. You need to read the text properly. Many preachers will tell you that when they studied the Bible through the week preparing to preach, then they come to the pulpit, and as they read the passage audibly to the congregation, that the kernel truth just hits them between the eyes as they read it carefully, deliberately, the truth begins to stand out. And here, as we read this text, whatever meaning you may give to begotten, it applies to the eternal existence of our Lord Jesus prior to His incarnation. And so that is the eternal pedigree of the Son of God. Let that sink in. For the good of your own soul tonight, let that take hold of you. Because if you get this wrong, all of your Bible study will be wrong. All of your thinking about the gospel will be wrong. So take note of what this text really states. And take your stand for this doctrine as spoken by John. Jesus is God's eternal Son, full of glory and of full of truth. To deny that is a lie, but it is a lie that will damn your soul. That makes it serious stuff. And that's again because Christianity stands out contrary to all the religions of the world. It is a revealed truth, a revealed religion. I'm saying all of these things by way of introduction because I have no intention of preaching them. I want to do something else here tonight. I want to move from the doctrine, from the import of the extent of Jesus' deity and His true humanity. And I want to swing this around devotionally. What it means in your heart and in your life. I have three ideas. Three things I want to say to you tonight. What this means to you in your daily Christian living. The Lord became flesh to be with us. Secondly, He became flesh to be for us. And thirdly, He became flesh to be in us. Now, if you can't get that outline, there's no hope for us tonight. The purpose of the Lord Jesus taking our human nature is that He would be with us, for us, and in us. John states that He was made flesh and dwelt among us. We talk about the illustration of tabernacling. And just as God dwelt in a tabernacle in the Old Testament, the human nature of our Lord Jesus is the dwelling place of God among men in the person of the Lord Jesus. His name was prophesied to be Emmanuel, God with us. I met someone this morning whose name was Emmanuel. I didn't get a chance to ask, was it with an E or an I? How do you spell it? And how did you get that name? And I'm interested because I was at a store on this week, and I noticed the attendant, you know, when you go into these stores nowadays, they've got these pumps that you must get that sticky stuff on your hands, rub it all over you. And this guy was making sure that as you walked through the door that you did that. And I looked at his name tag and it said, Jesus. And I couldn't let it go by. I said to him, who gave you that name? My mother, was his answer. And I said, well, there is another person called Jesus and he's my Lord and my Savior. And he went on to talk about he was a Catholic and so on. But names have meanings. And when the Lord Jesus was given the name Emmanuel, it means God with us. Now, He was with us in this world for 33 years, all to show that He was real flesh. We would have difficulty preaching this story if the infant was taken into heaven before He became a man. If perhaps from the manger or from the stable or from Nazareth He was lifted up into heaven at an early point and He only dwelt on earth a very brief period of time, we would have difficulty preaching the story that He was real man in real flesh. You read of those men that came to Abraham and they spoke with him, the messengers of God. And at least one of them may have been the pre-incarnate Christ. And those were just brief appearances. And sometimes people question them. Were they really the person of the second person of the Trinity coming in advance to meet with men? Could that be true? And if you read the commentaries, they've got pages and pages of explanation on these theophanies, these pre-incarnation visits. And sometimes they're difficult to handle and grasp. But when you come to the life of the Lord Jesus, and it says that He came down and dwelt with men in a real body, we have no problem. Because He dwelt with us in this world for 33 years. There was every opportunity to know Him. Certainly for His family in Nazareth. For 3 years by His disciples. And the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus is the people that knew Him best worship Him most. If you're down in this world and you get to know somebody for a period of time, you might be very impressive on day one. And maybe he can keep it up on day two. But by the end of the week, your estimation of that person's gone down. They're not all that they talk about. Not all that they pretend. And the more you get to know them, you begin to see the feet of clay. But the more we get to know the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the more you study His life, the more you interview those who, like John, laid on His bosom, were close in fellowship, witnessed the very inner life of the Lord Jesus. Well, those were the very men that were willing to go out and preach Him at the risk of death, because they knew that He was real and really man. He manifested His glory. John says here in this verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Now, this could refer to His miracles. He could have manifested His glorious power by miracles. Turning the water into wine was the number one. And the many thousands of miracles that He performed, they would have witnessed that this is no ordinary man. But then there's the Mount Transfiguration experience. When Peter, James, and John were in that mount, and for whatever period of time, they witnessed the glory shining through the flesh, the body of the Lord Jesus, as the glistening sun. This is the person of God come down to dwell with men. On that occasion, Peter didn't want to leave. He was so enjoying the Lord. He so wanted the sweetness of the Lord's presence in his own heart, he didn't want to leave. And those are the people that know that Jesus is God come down to dwell with men in the flesh. Let us take our delight in the Lord Jesus. He is nearer than you know. He's the friend of every repentant sinner, everyone who looks to Him for grace. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's come to be with us. Now we move to He has come to be for us. In the incarnation, there was this uniting of the divine nature to the human nature to produce the person of the God-man, a person perfectly fitted to be our Savior. And of course, a Savior, He works to save His people. He is not only with us to give us the wonder of His presence, but He is with us to save us, to lift us out of this world of sin. And He did that all of His life. All of the life of the Lord Jesus was for His people. Every deed, every fulfillment of the law, and He kept the law perfectly. And He was, by His perfect life, weaving a perfect righteousness, providing that righteousness from the warp and woof of His own deeds and words and miracles and ministry. Every act of the Savior was not for Himself. It was for us. And we are saved by the obedience of Christ. He was the worker on our behalf. And so He has come for us. His life was for us. His death was for us. And when He set Himself to go to the cross, He wasn't doing so for Himself, but for you and me, for us. The greatest issues of the gospel is the vicarious nature of Jesus' sufferings upon that cross. For us, He died. I remember as a young Christian listening to Dr. Paisley preaching, and he put it so powerfully. Christ died. That's history. Christ died for us. That's the gospel. And that's where the difference comes in. That the Lord Jesus died, and all His sufferings, all His agony, all His blood, all His sacrifice, all His offering to the Father was for us. He came to be with us that He might be for us. His resurrection was for us. Because He lives, we shall live also. He was the prototype. We now are guaranteed that one day these bodies shall be raised from the dust if the Lord tarries and we are laid in the dust. The Lord shall raise up these bodies. Our Savior rose again for us, for His people, that He will bring us right into glory one day. Now that doctrine really changes life for us. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. If Jesus is your resurrection, why are you living in the gutters of sin in this world? Why are you even a slave to the world? If the risen Christ is working for you, why set your affection on the things of the earth? Rather, set them on things above. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Ah, that's the wonder of it. Not only did our Lord Jesus manifest His glory for all around to see, one day we will share in that glory. We're going to be changed into His likeness. What a change. What glory. And He will gather us home, welcome us into the Father's house, beautified, glorified, like unto His glory. One more way that our Lord Jesus is for us, by His intercession at God's right hand. Right now, the Lord is appearing before the Father. And with the body that He was given in Mary's womb, He is now pleading. And He is, as the high priest, offering up to the Father prayer, intercession for us, His people. We have a man in the glory actively, presently praying for us. He went into glory for us. He's gone there to prepare a place for us. He's coming again to receive us. But right now He's interceding. And by His own precious blood, He pleads for us. You see, this makes a difference, doesn't it? You might ask, does prayer really work? Is there any power in prayer? Does my prayers go any further than the room in which I make them? Do I have to make some grand appeal to God as an orator to impress God with my needs? No, just ask in Jesus' name. Just ask Him to pray the Father for you. And His prayers are effectual. Jesus stood outside Lazarus' grave and said, Father, I thank Thee that You hear me always. Always. And so when You plead with God, You come through the intercessory high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus, because He's there praying for us. He's for us. Now you think that's wonderful. You wait till we get to the next one now. He has come to be with us, to be for us, but also to be in us. Our text says that He is full of grace and truth. And then you go down to verse 16, and of His fullness have all we received. And grace for grace, abounding grace, continual grace. That's what makes the Christian life possible and blessed. We are not living the Christian life according to the flesh. We now have the living Lord Jesus out of His fullness pouring His grace into our hearts and into our lives. Jesus said to His disciples, I am the vine, ye are the branches. What a wonderful picture of the life of the Lord flowing into the hearts and souls of His people. This is Christian living. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ's Spirit dwelling in my heart. Some other religionist, I don't remember if it was a Mohammedan or a Hindu, but as he observed what Christians taught, he said the most confounding truth is this knowledge or idea. To him it was just an idea, that the living Christ can live in the hearts of His people. And you think of what that is, amazing. And you know, it couldn't have happened if Jesus had not come into the world and taken human flesh. If He did not have a body, He could never have offered that body on the cross. He could never have shed His blood. And it is by the power of the blood of redemption that the Holy Spirit has title to dwell in our hearts. This is the grace of our Savior. I haven't really given you many Bible verses tonight. Shame on me. Shame on me for bypassing some of these key texts. I'll ask you to turn to this one then. Galatians 4:19. Here is a text to meditate on through the week. And maybe will be a very important verse as you think about the Savior coming into the world, as we think of it at this season of the year. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth, again, until Christ be formed in you. Now there's the heart of a pastor. He is burdened for these troubled saints. There's a controversy going on. There's charlatans and heretics trying to destroy the gospel. And Paul opens his heart to these believers and says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth. He pictures himself as a mother to give birth to her child. There's the pain and the agony of his own heart. Until Christ be formed in you. We don't just want to hear the lip service. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Mind you, if you were to tell me that tonight, I would probably hug you. Well, probably not. Not these times. I would rejoice if that is news for the first time. Someone came for the very first time to the meeting, never been to church before, and they come in and said, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. Well, I would take that and rejoice and say, welcome. In the name of the Lord, we welcome you. But if he attends the meetings, comes to prayer meeting, what's my prayer going to be for that professing believer? That Christ is seen in him. You know, we use cliches in the church. We talk about, we want to see the change. We want to see a new life. We want to see a new walk. We want to see Jesus in him. We want to see something of the Lord in his life, which can only be born by the Holy Spirit bringing forth the fruit of the Lord in his life, Christ living in the believer. So that again is possible because Jesus came, took a body, and by purchasing us at the cross by his blood, he has now redeemed us. And being redeemed, we belong to Jesus. Our body is not our own. Paul said that in Galatians 6:19. Let's turn to that text now. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Just back a little bit here. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're not your own. You're a professing Christian. You are born of the Spirit. You are washed in the blood. You cannot live as you like. You are now the servant of the Lord Jesus. And so do not be the servant of the world or the servant of the devil. You are in the slave market tonight. And the world is bidding for your soul. And the world is willing to offer so much that you might serve the world in all its lusts and pleasures. The pride of life and the pride of this world. And there are pleasures abundant that are offered to you that you will serve this world that is anti-Christ and rebellious to God. The world's bidding for your soul. And the devil's in the arena and he's bidding for your soul. And all the forces of hell he will bring together to enslave you. That you serve the King of darkness and not the King of glory. But in comes the Lord Jesus. And he outbids the world and he outbids the kingdom of darkness. And he, by his grace, translates his children from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And he buys them by the power of his blood. It is of infinite value. Nothing can outbid the blood of Jesus. And you are bought, my brother. You are bought, my sister. Young person, you claim to be a Christian. You are bought by the blood of Jesus. And Christ is in you. And his purpose is to be formed in you more and more until that great and glorious day. Back to the Mormons where I began, we will never be gods. We will never be divine. We will not have 1 milligram of deity, but we will have the fullness of Christ flowing into us. Because Jesus has come to be in us, with us, for us, in us. And when we go to heaven, we will worship Him with great praise and thankfulness. Let it begin in your heart tonight. And say, thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave me in the auction room of the world or the devil. But you came all the way from heaven's glory that you might purchase me, redeem me, and live in me. Come, Lord Jesus, into my heart. That's the prayer of the blood-bought Christian. Well, it's time for that ensemble. And they're going to sing together. Is it singing or playing? Just playing. The Holy City. So we'll call on them now to come and sing or play. you very much. It was absolutely beautiful. It's all a matter of timing. My wife keeps telling me that all the time. It's a matter of timing. Thank you for coming tonight and being a part of our service. Thank you for your singing. And thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you richly this evening and through the week. And Lord willing, until we meet again. And pray that my car battery will get fixed this week. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we ask your blessing upon us as we dismiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your redeemed people now and evermore. Amen.